Blog Talk Radio.
You know we're talking about the
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is the fastest rising pro wrestling podcast in the Midwest. It is the FTW Future Focus. Welcome, guys. I am your host, the Mastermind Bob Rogers, with me, and we're going to break down everybody in the bracket. We got, first off, he, by way of Chicago, Illinois, he is in Indianapolis, Indiana. He is the president and founder of the NWG Motown Wrestling Group on Facebook. He is the president, El Presidente, Tony Motown Allen. Tony, what's up?
What's going on? Hey, how you feeling today?
Chilling. You know how I go down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Definitely looking forward to jumping into this show today, though, so I just can't wait to get this going.
Oh, yeah. Next, we have, from Chicago, Illinois, he is a big wrestling fan. Unfortunately, he didn't watch Revolution. Shame on you. We just found that out. But we still going to have fun with him anyway. He is Marvelous Marcus Beckley. Marcus, what's up, bro?
What's up? I apologize. I didn't get a chance to see
it.
But,
I had to mess with you, man.
I was trying hard not to miss anything else.
Next, last but not least, he is the man. He is the voice of NWP Wrestling. He's also the vice president of FTW Live Wrestling. He is the man that you hear on IWTV, Fight TV, and all other TVs that got wrestling on it. Maybe you get it in black and white, maybe in color, who knows. But he is the man that you hear that is your not-so-humble correspondent. He is Robert Black. Robert, what's up, man?
Hey, happy Sunday, Mastermind, and welcome to Marcus and Tony, and we're here to have a lot of fun here. Now, I want to talk, after the show today, I'll get with Marcus on Facebook, and I will direct him to some areas on the high seas that might help him out with pay-per-view problems. But we'll discuss that off-air.
Discuss that offline, yes, definitely.
I'm going to need to be part of that discussion as well, okay?
Yeah,
you got
yes,
it. You
yes,
got
definitely.
It.
But we
will leave all winking and nudging for later.
Yeah. Old girl ain't here, so we can't tell. Oh, anyway. I'm bad. Anyway. First subject on the mantle, which is on everybody's lips, whether if it's positive, negative, or just plain old stupid, because, yes, I have seen some of the dumbest comments, the dumbest comments on the Internet when it comes to AEW Revolution. My goodness, I'm going to be straight up. I haven't enjoyed a pay-per-view in a long time until Revolution. What do you guys think?
I'm happy as good as it was because, no, last minute I dropped the $50 on it because some of the stuff I was working on didn't work. So I have YouTube TV and I can't order through there, so I had to order through Bleacher Report. So it was worth the money for sure, though. So.
Oh, yeah.
My only complaint, I think we discussed this already, is the length of the pay-per-view. It would have been on a Sunday. It would have been perfect Saturday. Would have been perfect on a Saturday.
We're going to go into that a little bit after we go over this card. That's one of the things I want to talk about right there. Definitely. Rob, what did you think?
Overall, the pay-per-view was excellent. I do have to agree with Tony. There were some parts of it that did drag, But and I preferred when they had the pay-per-views on Saturday. But still, minor quibbles aside, it was a great card, and it delivered in all the right places, and it hit all the right notes for the ensemble. So I was very satisfied with it. I wouldn't exactly – I've been excited for AEW pay-per-views before, but there's something special about the Revolution one that just, for some reason, they always get it right. I don't know why, but they did this time too.
Well, I'm going to say this. My satisfaction was given. She came through. Laid me down. Oh, I'm sorry. The pay-per-view was awesome.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously, the pay-per-view was awesome. This is the first time you will hear me say that. I got to say about 95% of the show I thoroughly enjoyed, and 5% I didn't, and we're going to go into that in a second. We'll go into that later.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that particular person, you would enjoy the entire pay-per-view.
Oh, my God. But let's start with the buy-in. Layla Hirsch taking on Chris Statlander. Of course, Layla Hirsch wins this match. What did you think of this match? Tony, kick it off.
I actually thought it was a really good match. I did pick Statlander to win this match. I was really hoping this was going to be a match to get her going. But I thought it was overall a good match, though. I mean, it was really good for the buy-in show, a good way to kick off the pay-per-view. I enjoyed it.
Rob, what would you say?
I'm really impressed by the fact that the women's division in AEW finally seems to be getting organized. We're getting we're getting consistent feuds, and we're getting like what feels like long-term planning. And I think that Layla winning this match against Statlander and kind of extending the feud and extending her own like status is a really good thing. The match overall was it was pretty standard stuff, but AEW sets a good standard, and Layla Hirsch getting a cheap win the way that she did kind of sets up her Napoleon complex character going forward. So great match overall.
Now, I'm going to be probably Debbie Downer on this one just a little bit. Not that much, but just a little bit. And to the fact of I'm getting tired of Chris Statlander, like she's getting stepped on. It's almost like the WWE reverse effect. Statlander should be getting some wins. She's a good wrestler. She's good technically. I mean, again, she did one of my most favorite submission moves that I've seen in a long time. I mean, with that alone, I think she should be getting some type of prop. But other than that, I mean, I don't like the way they're treating Statlander, and I think they're at a risk of missing something good here. The AEW originals have a couple of guys that have some goofy gimmicks that could go over. Statlander, the alien thing, yeah, but everybody says, oh, that's so goofy because she's an alien. But what woman don't you know without double personalities? You know what I'm saying? So the alien thing could be plausible if they did it right. It bothers me that she's not getting the props because I think she deserves it. I think she's taking – it's like Natalya almost. You know, I don't think she's good at Natalya.
I
don't
agree with you.
But it's the same type of treatment. Yeah. You know, the girl is technically sound. She should be champion. I mean, I honestly – and this is the only woman that I would say this about of what I'm going to say, though. I could see her TBS champion over Jade Cargill right now, you know. And Jade Cargill is trying to fight and get the title from Statlander or cheating to get it. You know what I'm saying? I just think they slipped the ball big time when it came to Statlander, and I think they're going to end up losing – something. The WWE is going to pick her up because she's big, she's tall, she's got that what's her name? The Australian chick in WWE.
Rhea Ripley.
She got a Rhea Ripley Yeah, she got a Rhea Ripley presence about her. And honestly, I could see them getting together and having a feud and being a tag team.
Well, Bobby, I don't disagree with you that they could be using Statlander more effectively, but for some reason, she's gotten caught up in these cul-de-sac factions that have formed in AEW. These groups that are together to be a group's sake, and there are talented people inside them that should be breaking out, but they aren't because of the group. And I specifically mean the Best Friends faction and the Dark Order.
But I don't see anybody in Best Friends except Statlander that is good. I mean, Orange Cassidy is good. Okay, let me take that back. Orange Cassidy is good. The problem is his gimmick is too fucking goofy for me to stand and wait for him, his wrestling, to kick in.
The only problem with Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta is that they're too vanilla. They're not. They're not being allowed to be. And Dark Order does not need to be a face faction with the name Dark Order.
With the circumstances that happened, I'm sorry, I gotta agree with them being face, because I can't see them. I can't take them serious being heels.
But
they gotta be face, especially after what happened.
But that group of wrestlers should be heel though. Like the people they have in there, it's a heel faction. I mean, I get why they are face, but that's a heel faction.
John Silver and Colt Cabana don't belong in there. They need to be extracted from that group, and they need to get.
I agree.
They need to get a
leader to be extracted from AEW.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't say that.
Is he still in AEW?
I don't know. Maybe Punk having them hide somewhere or stand in the corner. I don't know. I mean, seriously, think about the beef they had, man. And then Punk can walk in there.
I was expecting that to be one of the matches that Punk had when he came back.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. That is so much money right there. Oh, my God.
You don't even have to script that.
No, let him go at it.
That was itself right there.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. That's money. That is, you have a golden ticket right there, and you are letting it blow away. And CM Punk, it's not over yet. I mean, they still could pull it off because CM Punk's double MJF. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the only thing I could see that could sell more than Punk and MJF would be Punk and Cabana.
Yeah.
You know, so you never know. They might be saying, okay, let's do this MJF thing first. Cabana's already over, you know. So we're going to make Cabana heal some kind of way, and then Cabana's going to come at you afterwards.
That's about the only thing. I don't know if Marcus remembers when he used to go to ROH. I've just never been a big Cabana fan, but I would like to see that, though.
Yeah, see, I think they would have done that.
Cabana's good.
Yeah.
Cabana's
me,
good.
He's not a clown. That should have been Punk's first feud to me if Cabana's still there.
Yeah. No, I would have put it first. I could have put it first feud.
Made that come in the door. I would have addressed the elephant. Everybody know what happened.
I mean, it's elephant in the room, though, because I was kind of curious what's going to happen with them two being in the same program. And so, it would have worked for the first one.
Yeah,
my thing is,
right, come in the door.
This is the reason why I wouldn't have. Number one, everybody's looking for it. So you want to make them wait and salivate over it so they're more quick to buy a ticket. If you do it right off top, they're going to take their time. Second thing is, you know, when you look at – how can I explain it without giving too much out? I like the idea of Punk taking MJF first because that's really Punk's biggest huge hurdle he has had to get over. And with him getting over a hurdle, it gives the more realism beyond the realism that's already on the table with Cabana, because he could be like, I'm an original, and you just walk in here and think you're just going to take over? Who the hell are you?
Well, it's like Punk said when he first got there, I've got the time. So eventually he's going to get to everybody that he's got a issue with in the locker room. We've already went through Darby, Kingston, MJF, and we'll get to Colt eventually.
But he never really had a problem with Darby and them. It was always, and it was, and this with MJF, I don't know if it was a problem or not. Let's just say that. But this is real beef here. I mean, this is the Angus steak that you want that's coming off the grill at the 72-ouncer, you know, with all the juices dripping and everything. This is something that hasn't been done anywhere else with this type of rivalry. I mean, this type of intensity and realism to it, it hasn't been done. And if they can professionally get together and make it work to where they can sell that Cabana can talk and so can Punk. You know, I see the promos going off the charts. I see MJF maybe interfering in that rivalry to kick off some more stuff with them so they can go even further. I see a lot of branches with that. Right now, it's just too early. And that's my thing with it. It's just way too early. Let it simmer a little bit. Next, Hook taking on QT Marshall.
Oh, boy.
I'm just
going to
let
this
that
one,
that statement sit right there and resonate.
Yeah, that match went about exactly as I figured it would, and it was I mean they teased it a little bit with giving QT some offense. You have to Hook is a rookie, and they wanted to make sure they didn't completely bury QT, but in the end that went exactly the way I thought it was going to, and they're doing a great job with building up Hook, and they're not making him look like Superman, and they're making him look like a serious threat, and that's exactly what they needed to do. So that match served its purpose to a T.
Can I say that Hook is the male component to Nikita Lyons in WWE. He's the male component. He's the young buff star that looks like a bad boy that all these women are drooling over. And he got the technical wrestling ability to have the male wrestler fans like, damn, he ain't bad. You know, he is that Nikita Lyons of the AEW, you know, only he's not female with a big butt, you know. But anyway.
But, you know, can I ask a question?
What's up?
Okay, is Hook or a heel?
How do you say?
Neither. He's a tweener. He's a tweener.
Well, cause, I mean, he's in the heel faction, but he's cheered. That's why I'm like, is he a face or a heel?
No, he's a tweener. He's technically a tweener.
I guess.
Okay.
I look him as a face. I mean, he's so over. I mean, he can't be heel.
Yeah, he's over, but he's really a heel. He's really a heel, so he's got a tweener.
Right.
He's a tweener. That's what he would be considered as a tweener.
Well, he kind of falls into the same category that Wardlow fell into just a little while ago. People want to cheer him, and people think that he's cool. It's just that he's in the company of people that are not so much. And the only reason he's in Team Taz is because he's Taz's son. Once he breaks away from... Now, once he breaks away from that and he becomes his own guy, then he's going to be as big of a face as Darby is.
Yeah.
You know who he reminds me of? Seriously. Do you know who he reminds me of when he's in that ring?
I don't know.
He reminds me of Saget off of Street Fighter II was hair.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I look at him, but all I can think of is Tiger Punch. Tiger Punch. You know, that's all I can see him in my mind, man. I'm waiting on him to do that hyper uppercut. I'm like, oh, shit, you know. But
what the only thing that bugs me about Hook is that hair. I understand now where it's coming from, but it just, to me, it looks like he prefers to, like, sleep on one side of his head and he doesn't own a comb. That's the only problem.
The kid line's got a big butt, he got big hair.
I guess, but I mean that is literally my only problem with Hook. Everything else is perfect so far.
Yeah, but Hook is on point. Hook is on point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that man is he's going to be a mega star. He's going to be beyond a superstar. He's going to be a mega star if he keeps it up. Now he might blow it on his own, but he's got the opportunity, so he needs to keep going. And the last match on the buy-in, the House of Black versus the Death Triangle. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I got too carried away with that one.
But just to make something clear, I am not in any way associated with the House of Black. I am not any kind of secret member or private manager or investment firm associate or anything with the House of Black. Just to make everybody aware of
that. That's kind of disappointing, actually, though. I wish you were.
Well,
you could be real with us, man.
Would probably be great, but
we know when that Japanese girl came up, you disappeared, and then when the lights came on, you weren't there anymore, and neither was the girl. So what happened?
I played the Fifth Amendment.
Okay, there we go. All right. This match was kind of cool, though. I can't clown on it too much. It was kind of cool. But to me, if the girls' match was better, it would have been the last match on the totem pole, you know. They did well, but they could have did a lot better with these matches. I think Pac doesn't need to be part of a death triangle. I did like they brought out the version of I keep forgetting his name. God dog. Azero Nero.
Penta.
Yeah, I like the dark version of Penta. I love.
I always love Penta dark.
Like from the Lucha days, he was like one of my favorite characters in Lucha. I love him being dark.
Yeah, Lucha Underground. I mean.
Yeah, I was always a fan of Penta like that.
Well, I know some NASCAR fans that couldn't like him because he was dark. But anyway, That was just wrong. But I won't get cussed out for that one. I'm going to tell you that. But no, seriously, that version of Penta is awesome. I think that version should have came out with John Moxley, though. You know what I'm saying? If he was going one-on-one with Moxley, I could see that coming out. This is just like, why? Why did you waste all of that on this?
Well, because the House of Black is supposed to be a demonic-ish type of faction, and that's what Penta needed to fight against that faction.
Educate me on this, because this is something that I was curious about, and I thought that I saw, but I could have been mistaken. Because, again, Lucha and stuff I've watched, but I haven't watched thoroughly like American wrestling. Wasn't Penta Dark like a deathmatch type dude, though? That's what I thought. He was like a deathmatch dude.
I mean, he could go hardcore, but I wouldn't necessarily say he was like full-fledged deathmatch, though.
No, he was more into trying to break a guy's arm, more so than deathmatch.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, then I can break your arm, though, but. No, but he could go in the ring, though. Like, he can turn it up and not, I mean, he can get screaming in his matches, though, but he wasn't, like, no death match person, no.
All right. Well, no, there's death match people that can actually wrestle, too. That's what I was thinking he was. You know, I thought he was, like, on the version of Josh Crane or a Dale Patrick or something like that. But, you know, all right, I get it now. I just never watched him a lot, so I couldn't definitely say bam or bam, you know. All right, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
You wanted to say something?
Yeah, as far as this match goes, I was it could have stood to be a little more structured. I think that was basically its only problem. It was a pretty decent scramble match, and it got the idea of the feud across. And I'm not really sure whether Eric Redbeard added or took away from anything. It was just kind of more or less a reason to debut him, and the fact that he was the one that took the fall kind of made things fizzle a little bit, but otherwise it was an acceptable match.
Buddy Murphy, oh my God, I wish they let that dude lose.
Yeah,
I mean, Buddy is awesome, and he gets getting caught up in this stupid shit. Buddy, in my opinion, is probably one of the most underrated wrestlers that's out there. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Had a great match. Yeah, he had a great match with Roman on TV on SmackDown one night.
Oh, hell yeah. I think he embarrassed
him. Oh, yeah, I remember that match.
Yeah.
I remember that match.
I'll be going so far as saying he embarrassed Roman.
Yeah, I mean, Roman.
That's how much I liked him in that match.
Yeah, he really made Roman look good.
Boy, tell us how much WWE appreciates people, huh?
Oh, he can't talk.
Okay,
that's
so we're
going.
Yeah. Boy, tell me about it. Okay, so now we're going to go into the main card. And the first match out that kind of shocked me on this one, but I could understand after the match was over, Chris Jericho taking on Eddie Kingston. And this was a surprise.
Yeah.
I did not see Eddie Kingston winning this at all. I did not see that.
Clean.
Yeah. And Tony, you actually picked... No, wait a minute. Yeah, both of you guys picked Eddie Kingston. I thought it was going to be a double disqualification because I thought they were just going to keep continuing it. But I'm like, what?
I picked Eddie Kingston, but I wasn't taking him like that. I legit thought LAX was going to help him win.
This match was okay.
It was an okay match. It was a surprising finish. The finish made more sense when we saw Dynamite.
Yeah.
As far as where they won, though, but yeah, it was surprising. I wasn't expecting to see Chris Jericho tap out. I wasn't expecting to just be straight 1-on-1. Like I said, I did pick Kingston, but I picked Kingston thinking LAX was. I was expecting LAX to turn on Jericho and help Kingston win.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was seeing too. I was thinking that Kingston was going to be the heel. And LAX was going to reform, break up the inner circle that way, and we were going to get face Jericho versus heel Eddie Kingston. But apparently not. Eddie was very over as a face because of the article he wrote, and you know, I don't blame that at all, because I teared up a little bit after reading that article as well. So having Eddie go over in the match itself made sense, because we're talking about two old school guys in AEW. They slowed the pace down. They took their time to tell the story. And You know, the way that they did it really exemplified Eddie as a face, and then as we all saw, they went the other direction with Jericho, which really worked as well. But as for the match itself, it was a hard-hitting, old-school type of match, and it was a good way to open the pay-per-view, really, because with all the other explosive stuff that went on in the card, having a match that grounded open it was a really good move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I really wasn't expecting Eddie to be a heel in this. I just didn't. My thing that I expected, though, was Jericho to cheat. And that didn't happen as much as I thought it was going to happen. I thought Jericho was going to pull out all stops just to, you know. And unfortunately, that did not happen. So I can't say I'm kind of disappointed, because I see us going farther, and I think they just want to introduce it coming in. I'm thinking this is going to end up being a main event and a pay-per-view down the road. But I can't say I disliked it either. You know, it was like, okay, we got this kicked off. It started. Let's do this, you know. So, I'm not going to say I'm disappointed, but I'm not saying, oh, my God, jumping out of my CDs are on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the second match. Jurassic Express versus Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks. Young Bucks, excuse me. Of course, Jurassic Express walks out with their tag team titles, and that's when, and I'll give mine first right off top on this one. I'm just going to say this. I thought they would win. I was really hoping they didn't win. I was hoping Red Dragon won. I picked the Jurassic Express. Because I figured they would, but my hope was I was wrong and Red Dragon took it.
I was hoping you was wrong.
They
too.
Were cool. I'm just going to say this. Luchasaurus and all of them was real cool when, you know, when AEW started. It was a cool thing, you know. The big guy that's a darn... thinks he's a dinosaur, can do all these flips and all of this stuff, and is agile. I like that. But now we're coming to a point of it's getting more serious. They got to find some kind of way he loses that gimmick. They got to, because that gimmick is holding them back. And they need to make him... I mean, honestly, they could make their own class of wrestlers like that now. Him, Keith Lee, you know, a couple other guys that are heavyweights that can do that type of wrestling, that can fly and stuff. It's just the fact of that gimmick, no matter if you do have that type of division or showcase that type of talent, that gimmick is not going to get people to say, ooh, we Luchasaurus. You know,
right.
It's just not going to do it. It's just,
not at all.
But I'm glad they won. I hope they get their long title ring, because once they lose the belts, they should never get them back. I mean, just be a 100.
Well, okay.
And go ahead, Rob, because I'm going to be Debbie Downer on this one. Yeah.
Well, okay. The match was... the match was basically the usual Bucks Lucha scramble, and I get why people are turned off by that. There were a lot of exciting spots in the match, and they got over the story of Red Dragon screwing over the Young Bucks and their strange relationship with Adam Cole. They got all of that over, so I'm not down on the match itself. I did pick Red Dragon to win this because I thought that that it fed into the storyline more of putting the belts on them. But as far as As far as Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus go, Jurassic Express are still over. And you're right, once they lose those belts, they should never get them back because the team needs to break up so that Jack Perry can become Jack Perry and become the star that he needs to be, and Luchasaurus can change up his gimmick and whatever and become a monster heel the way that I think he would be more used effectively. But I don't know. I don't have as big of a problem with Jurassic Express as I did when they had Marco Stunt running around like a third wheel. They've been more grounded since they've been with Christian Cage, and it kind of helped the dynamic of the team to be less of a joke. So I'm okay with them for now, but the title reign should only last like 2 or 3 months more, if that.
I was gonna say, why would you say Marco Stunt on that team? But then I started thinking about it, like, yeah, I couldn't. But see, I would have kept Marco Stunt. I wouldn't have let him go. I would have actually re-signed him, and he would have been like that special attraction to come out and defeat the big bully that's bothering him and blah blah blah. It's ways you can do that with the right people, but he just can't be shown every single week. You know.
Well,
he's not that type of a wrestler to me.
You could go the Spike Dudley route with Marco Stunt. The problem is that it's even less believable than it was with Spike Dudley.
Because you've got
to suspend your disbelief to the point of breaking it almost with Marco. He's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not on the Jim Cornette bandwagon here saying that Marco Stunt completely sucks and he should be banned from the business and he looks like a toddler trying to wrestle. No, I don't think that's true. Marco's a talented guy when you put him in the right context and use him correctly. It's just specialty gimmicks always get old if you overplay them. Marco Stunt was getting too much exposure with Jurassic Express. That was the main problem with it.
Okay, I could dig that. Tony, any ideas or thoughts on what we've been talking about?
No, I mean, as far as the match itself, I mean, I was kind of like you. I really thought Red Dragon should have won that match. I was really kind of looking forward to that. Overall, the match was good. Kind of happy Young Bucks did not win it, so Red Dragon does not win the title, at least if they don't up a little while longer. I don't see them having much longer of a title run, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think they tend to be coming up sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think so, too. In the next 2 weeks. I'll just be allowed it.
Oh God, please, yes, please.
All right, so we're gonna go to our next match, which was the Face of the Revolution match. Now, yeah, this is gonna. I'm gonna wait until I'm gonna save everything I gotta say that I want to say until after another match, after the next match we talk to, because what I got to say in my real talk actually reflects both of these matches that's coming up. But Keith Lee versus Orange Cassidy versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks versus Wardlow and Christian Cage. Tony, go first.
Overall, the match itself was good. I like the ladder match. They had a good combination between the smaller, more athletic guys with the power guys in it. Although it was a good bump, I was kind of disappointed when Keith Lee and Powerhouse did that bump, because at that point they were out of it.
Yeah.
That was my biggest disappointment with it, but I mean, overall, the match was fine. I mean, I thought Keith Lee should have won it. I was betting Keith Lee to win it. I was hoping he did. Not overly disappointed that it ended up being Wardlow, because with what we see later on in the show and what they're leading up to, it kind of makes sense though. But I think, yeah, that's the only thing I did not like is like Hobbs and Lee taking themselves out of the match.
Rob, go ahead.
Well, the overall, I love ladder matches. I love the bumps that are taken, especially when there are innovative spots in the match. That's a reason that a lot of people don't like ladder matches anymore, but I love them. So that aspect of it was very good. And the best part of it, I was not upset that with the ending, because basically what they wanted to do is set up two feuds in this match. They wanted to set up Keith Lee versus Team Taz, specifically against Powerhouse Hobbs, and them taking each other out of the match made sense in that context. And then Wardlow winning the match because of his situation with MJF when he finally does get his TNT title match. When he wins the title, MJF is going to strip him of it and give it to himself because Wardlow does not have an AEW contract. He has a contract with MJF, in kayfabe speaking. So they're furthering that feud. So overall, the match itself did what it was supposed to do. My only problem with it is that when it comes to ladder matches these days, there's a lot of contrived spots. And the fact that three out of the six guys in the match were big guys and, you know, needed time to negotiate the ladders, it kind of took away from things because of all the setup they had to do. And that's one of the major drawbacks of ladder matches. But in overall, the match was pretty damn strong, and there were no obviously missed spots, and nothing ridiculous happened, and nobody got seriously hurt or broke their neck. So that match was good. As far as ladder matches go, that was a good ladder match.
And you did pick the winner in that one too. You did pick Wardlaw, so
yeah,
that was a pretty awesome. I myself, I'm going to say this. I like this match a lot. I liked it a lot more than other lighter matches I've seen. And the reason being is because you do have that mix up of the big guys with the little guys on the ladders. And I would say probably two out of the three big guys could really utilize both sides with the high flying, the ground and pound muscle, and also the ladder configuration. I don't think he was too used to it. So, you know, but I'm telling you, that was an awesome match. And to have big guys, half of them being big guys like that, in a match, so to speak, sort of that caliber, along with who you had in there that are high flyers, and to be able to contrast those styles was one of the biggest chemistry experiments you could have did. But was the right chemistry experiment to do with these guys because it worked out so well. I can't say more on how I thoroughly enjoyed this, but I actually thought this could have been the main event of the show. That's how highly I think of it. So
it's kind of cool, too, because we had three big guys in there, and I think we all picked big guys to win this match.
Yeah. Because Powerhouse Hobbs is coming for his. I just see him doing it, and then Keith Lee is trying to check him. And Wardlow is going to be battling off and on with MJF. So, you know, he's going to be doing some things with the big boys. You know, and then he's going to end up facing Keith Lee, and then he's going to, you know, so I seriously, thoroughly enjoyed this match. Again, it should have been a sub-main event of this card. It was that awesome. But I got some other stuff to say about this then I'm going to wait until after we talk about the next match. Again, they both will tie. I will key everybody in. They will tie together. Rob, did you have something else you wanted to say about this one?
No, let's go ahead.
Okay. Next matchup. Jade Cargill, the TBS champ, takes on Tay Conti. Okay. Breathe,
okay,
Bobby,
you want me to open this one?
Yes, open it up, because I'm going last.
Okay, understandable. This match was not let me start by saying there was not one match on this entire card, this entire night, that I was disappointed by. There wasn't one match on this card that was actively crap in my eyes. All of them were either extremely passable or extremely great, including this match. Now, granted, Ty Conti's title opportunity came out of the blue, and it really could have been somebody else in this position. However, they did pull off a fairly decent match. In spite of our reservations, all of our reservations about how this match was going to turn out or what it was going to be, I was into this match, Jade Cargill in particular, more than I was expecting to be. And I give some credit to Ty Conti for hanging in there with her as well. And it turned out to be a much more watchable match than it had any right to or could have been. And I think that Jade is improving more and more each time she goes into the ring because she's training under Bryan Danielson. And it's starting to show in her timing and in her execution of things inside the ring and her use of her frame. She's little by little, she's learning how to use it, and she's growing into what she's eventually going to be in the ring. And it was a good match, and I think it probably surprised everyone here.
Tony, go ahead. Tony?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Match was better than expected, in my opinion. I mean, I wasn't really expecting a lot out of this match. I know somebody's going to disagree with me, that's coming up after me, but I honestly thought this match was decent. I mean, it was a decent match for Jade Cargill. So you don't normally wrestle this long. I mean, with the match go like about 7 minutes, about 6-7 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
We don't normally see her go that long.
And we were saying Rob called it right on the money, too, because he said 5 to 7 minutes. Sure enough, for 7 minutes.
So it served its purpose, though, because I actually want to see her go a little longer. I want to see her, like, in an awkward spot, or, like, I want to see her taking a butt. I want to see, like, somebody taking it to her. I mean, the woman's like, what, 20-something and oh, and never been on defense. It's just been, like, straight squash matches. And despite what anybody thinks about Ty Conti, if you look at all her opponents that Jay has went through, it's not an impressive list. A majority of them. I mean, she has some good matches. I mean, she has some better opponents in her, though, but a majority haven't been. So, but the way they're building up Jay Cargill in this one, Ty Conti was a fine opponent. It was what it was. It was going to, like, show that she can go a little bit longer. She's going to come out with the win. Nobody, I don't think anybody thought that her title was in jeopardy on this night. I don't know if it's pay-per-view caliber match. I'm not going to say that Ty Conti didn't deserve to be in a ring with her. Probably didn't deserve it at the pay-per-view at all, but the match was better than I expected.
Okay.
Well, before Bobby has his say, let me add something. As far as that goes, I think that Jade probably would have been served better by a rematch with Ruby Soho on this pay-per-view. Ty's title match came out of the blue. She probably shouldn't have been an opponent, and this match probably would have been better served on Rampage or Dynamite or something of that nature. But still, it was surprisingly good from my point of view. Okay,
but
Bobby,
I don't think they really. Before Bobby goes, I don't think they wanted to serve up Ruby to her because she wasn't going to move the title right now, and I don't think they really wanted Ruby to take another L to Jade though at this point.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Okay, let's have it.
I know you said that this match is going 7 minutes long. And in my head, I said, how? How in God's green earth, in the invention of color TV, the making of CDs and flash drive. How in God's green earth will Tay String Bean Conti come around and be able to hang with her for even 5 minutes? I'm sorry. Y'all are up on Tay Conti. I am not. I am anti-Conti. I don't like Tay Conti. She's there with Becky with me. This chick does not belong in a wrestling ring. Anyone that has been in a big man, little man match, and you look at the match that happened there, you will see what Tay Conti has no brain cells whatsoever till a dead person probably could outthink her. I don't know what's going on there. This chick, I mean, everybody looks like, oh my God, she's Brazilian and she's cute. I don't give a shit. I don't care how she looks. Get a magazine, put her on the front cover, let her pose a couple of times, buy that. Don't put her on my wrestling show.
This
was terrible. And I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to look at it as a fan, but as me being in that ring, I'm just seeing so much. And I'm like, oh my God, balance that, Jade. And Jade did a darn good way, a darn good thing of making that match go as well as it did. I'm going to leave it at that. But going on to what I was talking about both of these matches, this is going to be the real talk section. And I'm just going to keep it 100% real. I don't understand how in the world anybody out there could have criticized, and I know Jim Cornette criticized this match too, and I'm sorry, I respect the man. I think he has a lot, he's a genius in his business, but I wonder sometimes, does he go off his rocker? Because this ladder match was awesome. And you had people out there criticizing. Like, I don't understand why the big guys was in the ladder match. Usually it's the guys that's flying around and flopping around like a pancake in a jumping bean. Look, man, they're versatile. These guys can do all type of matches. Why are you hating on them? That's just like that's the reverse problem that WWE has. WWE don't think that the big guys should be on ladders and everything. And which ones we dealing with a different company, different philosophy. You cheered for that when Adam Cole got on there. It looks like a blown-up donut now instead of the healthy man that he was. You will cheer Orange Cassidy that puts his hands in his pockets and do these kicks and stuff. But don't get me wrong, I think it's funny But when you come down to it, let's just get real. You cheer that type of person, but you get mad when a big man can get on a ladder and wrestle his butt off and do certain moves and do certain things that he should on that ladder for his size. That is stupid. You wanted change. You're getting change. And you're complaining about the change because it's not specifically the guys that you like. Another example, the Jay Cargill Tay Conti match. How dare you sit up there and try to say Jade is trash. Jade don't know what he's doing. What's she doing? Tay Conti was the better part of that match? Really? Stevie Wonder, when could you see again? Because Tay Conti screwed that whole match up. And let me ask, what experience do you have to know that she botched or who botched or what who didn't botch? What experience do you know? Because the people that I know that got experience didn't say a word because I think they saw what I saw. Number one, you don't speak about that stuff. But number two, how do you know? What experience do you have to know? I'm going to tell you from experience, Jade Cargill did what she did in that match and made that match look good. But no, see, Jade Cargill got all these muscles and she stands up and she's tall and she's only been in 20-something matches. That's just wrong. But the girl that can't wrestle that I think looks good in a bathing suit should win all the time. This ain't Star Search. This is a pro wrestling.
Well, no, Star
Search.
Dude,
if you're a fan of wrestling, be a fan of wrestling, not because somebody looked good in a bikini.
Well, Star Search is now called the Go Big Show, so it's still
well,
around.
Hey, they need to go somewhere with that thinking because that's just ridiculous. How the heck? I mean, I'm sorry. Rob, you had to have seen it when you watched that match. Because you've been around wrestling a long enough and up close to see certain things.
Yeah.
You had to see what Jade was saving that match.
Okay, the match was good because both girls were trying. And
ain't that much trying in the world. Trying in the world when it comes to Tay Conti. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're right in as far as Jade goes. Okay, she's improved drastically, and I think that's Bryan Danielson's influence. She's listening.
Oh, heck
she's
yeah.
Training with him, and I thought that it was a good match. Now, I'm not going to put that completely on Jade because it takes two to tango. I mean, for all the static that Tay Conti deserves for maybe getting the match prematurely, she's got some experience. Now that doesn't mean that she and Jade clicked very well. But it could by all rights it should have been a terrible match, but it wasn't.
I disagree. I did not like.
I'm gonna say it was a terrible match though, but I can't say that there was a match on the card that I would say was worse than that one though.
No, it wasn't. Well, hold on. No, it wasn't. No, I can't. No, it wasn't.
No, I mean that card from top to bottom. I mean, you had three women's matches. That was the worst of the three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that match was horrible.
Yeah,
it was a bad card, but it just didn't fit.
Yeah. Okay, that I would agree with.
I get fed up when I get on these and I look at these websites, and these guys are sitting up there talking, well, she watched this, she watched that. How do you know who watched it? What was what in that situation? You don't because you've never been in a ring.
Right. Well, Bobby, I will give you this. You are right in giving props to Jade Cargill. She did prove that she has gotten much more experience in that match. And
Daniel Bryan, you could tell Daniel Bryan is coming out to her like I don't know what. Bryan Danielson, I'm sorry.
And you talked about her frame. She is a fantastic physical specimen, and she's learning how to use that body in the ring, and it showed. So you are right in that regard.
Let's move on to the next match, though, because the next match was much better than this one.
Yeah, but just one final thing, all y'all that is out there trying to hate on Jade Cargill, kiss my ass. That's the way I feel about it. All right.
But can I ask a question about this match? One quick question. Okay, I've been seeing pictures all over the net of Jade Cargill kissing this tackle. What was that about?
Oh, that was a distracting tactic so she could put on a certain move.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
I don't even understand. Well, number one, she got a Mortal Kombat fatalities mixed up. She thought. Well, but that's what it was. That's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a replay of Mortal Kombat. She just got the characters mixed up.
Yeah, that's a Melina fatality, not a Jade fatality.
Actually, that's a Sonya Blade fatality. That was Sonya Blade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Melina literally sucked you in and spit your bones out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot
so long,
that part.
Sonya, if you remember the first couple of Mortal Kombat, Sonya would come up to you and put her hand under your chin and kiss you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so she got her fatalities wrong. That's what it was. But it was still smooth because it still referenced Mortal Kombat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole outfit, was all – that's WrestleMania-type outfit for me right there, Jack. You know, they be trying to clown on WrestleMania. She just clowned on them hardcore. This is what I'm coming out to now. You know? Jade? Yeah. You got my attention right off top. Fatality, baby. Fatality. Get it. But yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry, I'm getting too happy to think about Jade. All right, let's go to the next match. Everybody has been waiting for the match that everybody's selling their food stamps to see.
Oh,
I'm saying CM Punk versus MJF. Tony?
Match of the night. And for me, it wasn't even close. I mean, and I think a big reason why this was match of the night is, like, the way they built this up leading up to the match. Then you got CM Punk going, like, with the build-up. He's coming out old school. And from old school, I'm talking, like, Ring of Honor old school. The match itself was really, really good. I mean, well, it wasn't a typical dog collar match. I think I mentioned it last week that I'm not a huge dog collar match fan. I mean, it's not really a type of match that really entertains me. And I would put this up with Great to Hammer Valentine and Roddy Piper as far as, like, one of the best dog collar matches I've seen. It was that good.
Mm-hmm.
They told a great story. The action was good. We got the blood that you would expect in this match, expecting this feud. CM Punk won, but MJF didn't look weak with the win, especially with the Warlord coming out and leaving the ring out there. I mean, they just told, like, you have multiple stories going on in this match, too, though. So I might have thoughts on two of them on this one, though, because this was a match that could have been a letdown because of the hype and the build behind it, though. I mean, we have seen it where, like, your anticipation for a match is so high and it doesn't live up to the expectation, but this one did. This could have been the main event.
Yeah.
This was as close to a perfect match that you could possibly get with these two guys. It was a love letter to Piper Valentine, and it was just the perfect bouillabaisse of everything good that modern wrestling can be and everything great that an homage to the old school can be. It was just, I mean, there were the errors in this match are so minuscule that I can't even think of them right now. And I just got through a couple months ago calling the first dog collar match I ever saw live. But this was just so extraordinary, and it was just damn near the perfect match. It was the match of the night. It delivered in almost every possible way that it could have. Both guys came out of it looking like $1 million, and it just made a continuation of everything that could be after it. So it's 5 stars, damn near perfect, and there's not a whole lot more I can add to that.
I think that's one of the great things about this match is, like, you gotta have a winner or loser, but both guys won, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, the way this match went, they both won. MJF needed this. I mean, even though MJF lost this match made him.
That man will never go broke. I will never get tired of watching people kick MJF's ass. Just take my money now. Just, I will never get tired of watching someone beat him down. And he deserves every penny that he ever makes in this industry. Every penny.
You gotta think he's got to be legit prick because he plays the role too well.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing, though. That's what makes him the perfect heel. You can't really tell if he's like that in real life or not. And at this point, it doesn't matter to me. I just want
it really
to see
doesn't.
It. I mean, I just
want to... Now, let me say this. Let me get my point in on this match right quick, because I want
you
to point out something. I love this match. Screw match of the night. This is contender for match of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're in what, March? It's already number top contender for match of the year. We said at the same time. It ain't happening. Y'all can just pack it up. Pack it up in Dallas. They lose anyway down there with the Cowboys. Just pack it up and just say it's done. Because they took the curtain. They balled it up. They put gasoline on it. They balled it up a little bit tighter, threw it in a lake full of lighter fluid, and torched that whole month. It's just nothing you can do about it, man. It's just nothing you can do about it. This was the best match I think I have seen. And everybody, both of you make the point of Piper and Valentine. Honestly, I am understanding the whole story in this because you need to think about this. And you both probably are familiar with this. The Ring of Honor timing, along with Punk coming out to his old Ring of Honor song, to this, is, if you remember, is when CM Punk really blew up. And that's when CM Punk fought Raven in a dog collar match in Ring of Honor. And that match catapulted CM Punk. That's where Raven taught him a lot of things that he's credited. And Raven, you know, was his... He showed him that gateway, and that's what propelled CM Punk. And this match was done on purpose for MJF because that torch has been handed to him. MJF now has that torch. CM Punk going to do his thing and still make his money until he just decides to stop. But that had to happen. And people that paid attention, yeah, that's another thing people complained about.
Why did he come out to that music? Why did he come out to Custom Personality? Shut the
fuck up. I actually saw some of those complaints. It was just like...
It's like, really?
Yeah, it was crazy.
How am I supposed to know that when I went around with Ring of Honor? It's called the internet, you dummy. You're talking on it. Type it up, look it up, and figure out, oh, it's a Easter egg from Ring of Honor. Oh, I have a brain now. Oh, we can work. I mean, just do this. Oh, God, these people get on my nerves so much. Because it's like, how don't you know when you have the – it's not like when we grew up. when we grew up, we didn't have a library to go to look up to see what was going on. We didn't have none of that, man. We had memories, and we had a talk line that cost $3.99 a minute. That's all we had back in the day. Am I lying, though?
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The most beautiful thing about this whole situation, this whole feud, is that both guys have a deep appreciation for everything that came before. And the whole feud is a love letter to the people that got them there. You mentioned Raven and Punk appreciates Raven. He also appreciates Piper. MJF is a big Piper fan. Both the dog collar match and everything that all the history that goes into that. And the whole feud and that match in particular was just a huge love letter to professional wrestling, and that's why we are geeking on it so much.
It was just, and not only that, though, I will agree with both of you again. The build-up to it was on point.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
And this really should teach a couple of people, especially with the last day, with another con name and another McMahon name, that sometimes you have to listen to your younger talent. Because the younger talent can come up with certain things that could boost your business. Think of CM Punk did something like this in WWE with the marketing that they
have. Oh, yeah.
And that's the only thing I think Tony Khan got to get together. Get that marketing to a place where it's just second to none. And he will rule this damn professional wrestling world. His marketing is not that good.
Well, like I said,
would get everybody's attention and have people tuning in. He's still going to have some people tune in now because of what they did, but it would have been a lot more with the marketing mechanism that WWE possesses, which is basically their art.
Yeah, like I said before, in 2 years, the landscape of the professional wrestling industry may well be unrecognizable. The changes that are happening now, and if AEW keeps putting on matches like this, that landscape may change faster than I'm predicting.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, figure this feud from start to finish, from the very first moment to this match. As long as Vince McMahon's alive, we'll never see nothing like this.
Mm-mm.
In WWE.
WWE will never see nothing like this. No.
Yeah. And
they might get lucky.
A note to all the casual fans out there, do your research. If something is happening in a feud that you don't understand and they're referencing something, look it up. It'll be a whole lot more interesting to you. Once you and don't complain about we shouldn't have to go on YouTube, we shouldn't have to go on the internet and do homework to understand a match. But the guys themselves are doing homework and putting it into their art. I mean, the professional wrestling has a long and storied history, and if you're going to call yourself a fan, you need to familiarize yourself with it. You can't call yourself a football fan and not know who Heisman is, you know?
Who's Heisman?
So Heisman Trophy. Never mind.
I thought it was a beer.
I'm not a football fan, and I know who the
I'm just
who
playing.
Heisman
I'm just playing.
I know that.
I'm just playing.
I'm just playing.
Would hope that's
so. Cool. Yeah.
That's college football,
But, yeah, even if you've never watched anything but Monday Night, if you've never watched anything but Raw in your whole life, there is much more to it than that. You know, look up ROH. Look up the NWA, for God's sake. There is
that's the problem.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Big people don't realize that CM Punk had a career before WWE.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's what WWE wants you to think.
And that's another big part of the problem. You got to break out of that mold in order to understand the depths of it. I mean, it's like only watching the World Series once a year and then, you know, calling yourself a fan of baseball. It don't work that way. You know,
right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with watching the World Series once a year and that's it. I only go to Super Bowl parties because people give you free food and booze. But if you're going to be a fan of something, do your research and know it and, you know, get in depth with it. And that's why we are fans that deep. And that's why we loved this dog collar match. That's, you know, not only was it great in and of itself, but it was the culmination of something fantastic.
But let me add to that. Not only do you got to research to know it, it should be up to the promotions to keep it going and to keep teaching the old school. That's a problem, too. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have done matches that are wonderful, that were awesome, that should be seen by the new generation because they don't know. You know, they're like, well, we weren't born then. We just know this. We just knew this existed, you know. And it's up to us to sit up there and teach guys, hey, if you like pro wrestling, you need to look at this. It's easier to do it now than ever. You don't have to borrow VHS tape. You don't have to do any of that. You can just go right on your phone, punch this, and this, and look up old school stuff. You know.
History is important. The past is prologue. Oh, yes.
And then, because the past is the foundation for the present.
Mm-hmm.
No way to get around it. All right, next match. For the AEW Women's Championship, Thunder Rosa taking on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Tony, go ahead.
I picked Britt Baker to win. She definitely won this match. It was a really, really good match. I know Bobby for sure, I'm not sure anybody else, that something was done to Rosa's time. I'm not going to lie, the way this match went, there was a couple times I was like, oh, man, it's over. Or, like, I just kind of felt like, man, they about to put the belt on her. It was a really, really good match. It was a really competitive match. I think Rosa don't get enough credit for her in-ring work. I think Britt Baker is the best female worker out there, but Thunder Rosa doesn't get enough credit for what she does. And you put these two in the ring together, it's magic. My only complaint about the match, be 1,000% honest with you, and it has nothing to do with this match itself. It has to do with the rematch coming up in the cage. I just got a feeling they're going to pull the trigger this Wednesday on the title change, and like if you was going to pull the trigger that soon, it should have been this night. It shouldn't be at Dynamite in the cage, in my opinion. But this match is phenomenal. I am looking forward to the cage match because it's just another aspect that those two women are going to tear the house down.
Rob, what you think?
Well, okay, let's be honest. There was no way that Britt and Rosa were going to top that lights out match with this one. I mean, it's a conventional title match, and you know there was no way they could go as hog wild as they could in the unsanctioned fight. But that being said, they did capture a certain feeling of in a title match situation. And they really depicted Britt Baker's desperation to hold on to her spot very, very well throughout the match. They told that story well, and given the fact that they had to follow that dog collar match also kind of hurt the momentum throughout. But even given that, it was not a bad match. It was a very good, very straightforward competition, and they got over the fact that Britt's title is really in jeopardy when she's in there with Thunder Rosa. The fact that she retained by the skin of her teeth, it didn't really hurt Thunder Rosa all that much, and it continues the feud to where we're going to get this cage match, and it really does build anticipation for it. I really do want to see where they're going to go with this and whether they're going to put the title on Rosa. I'm not sure whether it's really time yet, because I think that if they're going to pull the trigger on Rosa, it needs to be now. But if they're not, then they could stand to keep the belt on DMD a little while longer.
From what that would say for this match following that dog collar match, you look at the rest of the card, who could have followed it?
Nobody. They could have put Adam versus Adam on next, and it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, I mean, and I thought the women did a phenomenal job following it, but yeah, they didn't have anything to follow that match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. They didn't have anything to. They couldn't follow the dog collar match, but at the same time, I don't know. I think it's time for Britt to let that go, let that belt go. I think Thunder Rosa needs to get it. This Wednesday, since they're having a cage match, I could see it. But my thing is, I think they did things backwards. They could have had this match when they had that hardcore match, had the cage match now, and then did that hardcore match this Wednesday. I think they did it kind of backwards. But you never know what AEW is going to come up with. I can't complain about it. I think it was a good match. It was all right. I would just like to see Thunder Rosa get that title. That's all. That's
well,
all.
If they put the title on her, I'm going to be disappointed she didn't get the title if she gets it on Wednesday, because if she's going to win the title, I would have preferred her to win it at the pay-per-view, not on Dynamite.
Well, if you notice, this feud between Rosa and Baker is kind of the mirror of the men's feud between Moxley and Omega. You remember they started out with the unsanctioned match, and then they moved on to the conventional match, and then they went the full death match. So they went gimmick, regular gimmick, and that's kind of what they're doing with Baker and Rosa. So it wouldn't surprise me if this Wednesday Thunder Rosa does get the belt. It just and the timing would be interesting because they've already got a new belt design. So it's entirely possible that Thunder Rosa is going to go over in the cage match, and if she does, I'm not going to cry about it at all, but there's still some mileage, I think, in the Britt Baker title reign.
No, I agree with you on that, though. Like, if Britt keeps the title Wednesday, yeah, she definitely got some miles up in that run.
Right on. All right, let's get to the next match. Jon Moxley versus Bryan Danielson. I'll kick this one off. And I honestly did not like the outcome of this match. Daniel should not have lost to Jon Moxley. I did like the way they did it, though. If Moxley had to win, he had to win in that type of fashion. I could dig that. The best part of this about, to me, wasn't even a match. It was Steven Regal. You know, Regal came out. And Regal's going to be their manager? Yeah, I'm down with that. I can't complain about this one at all. This was a good one. To me, the actual special shocking appearance overshadowed the whole match, in my opinion. But if you bring out somebody like Regal, he's going to overshadow a lot of things. So I can't get mad. It was a good match. Darn good match.
Oh, yeah, the technical aspects of it were just off the chart. Daniel, people complain about the idea that Moxley can't work. No, Moxley can work his ass off. He proved that in this match. He can hang with a guy like Danielson. He can hang with a guy like Nick Gage. He can do so much more in the ring than just brawl and or do technical stuff. He can do both. He's a versatile guy. The reason that I picked Danielson to win this match initially was because it made sense in the context of the storyline. Moxley said,
right,
"If I'm going to team with you, I got to bleed with you first." And I figured that, you know, Danielson would go over, and then Moxley would take the mic and say, "Okay, you beat me, so I'm going to team with you." But I guess the Moxley win, I guess, opened the door for Regal to step in and take the reins,
yeah,
and become the manager of the team. So I guess that worked out even better. But my only question is, are they going to be a face team or are they going to be a heel team? Because Danielson is – or are they going to be an in-between? Are they going to be tweeners? I don't know.
They're going to be tweeners.
Be a tweeners. Really more towards that heel end, I think.
And then that plus
–
Well, that makes things easier because they can face anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. They can face anybody and wrestle how they wrestle and dominate and do whatever, or somebody give them some problems or whatever. I mean, I think the ultimate match is where they're going to win the titles, and I think after they win the titles, Santana and Ortiz is going to get the titles. I see that happening. All right.
At some point it could.
So next.
But they definitely do need to put the belt on them, though. I do think, though, like, because I was kind of like you, where it shocked me that Danielson lost. But when you brought in the Regal, I think it worked. I think Daniel Bryan losing worked. I mean, Bryan Danielson losing worked better with bringing Regal in the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing with that is, like, Daniel Bryan didn't really suffer from this loss because, like you said, the Regal return kind of outshined everything. So, no, what's your takeaway for the match? Daniel Bryan lost or really Regal returned?
Mm-hmm. All right, on the next match, and honestly, I think, in my opinion right here, this should have been on the pre-card.
It wouldn't be another thing.
Right. AHO versus Darby, Sting, and Guevara. Semi-main event. I don't know.
Well, this match suffered because it got the death spot. It was after two, three great matches, and it was right before the main event, so it was going to suffer because of that. It was a scramble match. And it wasn't actively bad. It's just that there were too many irons in the fire there, between the tension between Sammy and Darby and the stuff with Matt Hardy and Andrade and all of that stuff in between. It kind of took away from it. There were some great spots with the brawls on the outside, and Sting going through the table was awesome. You know, that's all well and good, but you're right, this match should have been on the buy-in instead of the main card, because granted, there has to be a match in the death spot. That's inevitable. But the problem is that you shouldn't have major players, especially a singles title holder, in that sort of spot. And the match just came off as disorganized. It was a tie for worst match of the night. Now, that's not saying that it was terrible, because it wasn't. There was not one match on this card that was actively terrible, but this match ranks near the bottom as far as like quality of the card goes, because there it just had too many disadvantages against it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely agree. This is one of the worst matches of the pay-per-view. Not necessarily meaning it's a bad match. I think it was that type of match that had some good spots in it. Tony Khan's not going to put Sting on pre-show, so that never happened. But I think this match would have been more enjoyable if this was the opening match of the night versus being the match before the main event for a couple of reasons.
Yep.
Not only is that a death spot, but this was a long pay-per-view. And this was a mostly invested pay-per-view, especially for those last three matches. Like the ride of those, like between the dog collar match, the women's match, then a Mox match with Regal returning. It was like a long pay-per-view that was really emotional, draining. And I think by the time this match came up, people were just about tapped out. So this wasn't a good match for this part of a long pay-per-view. They could have started this pay-per-view off with the exact same match, and it would have felt better because everybody was fresh and into it.
Mm-hmm. To me, it was just nothing to get into in this match with. Except Sting jumping off the balcony like he did.
That was it, though. I mean, Sting jumping off the balcony was basically it. So I was just like, holy shit, the 60-year-old man just did that.
Right. I'm like, dude, AARP going to revoke your membership. You keep doing some stuff like that, man. What's up with you?
I'm
glad to see Sting do what he do, but I'm just getting kind of nervous. I'm getting real nervous.
Yeah. Overall, I think this pay-per-view was just one match too long. If they had cut one match out of the card.
Yep.
If they had cut one match out of the card, it would have been perfectly timed.
Yes. This was the one match too long.
And the match of the night. Well, not match of the night, but the main event.
Okay.
Adam Cole takes on Hangman Adam Page. Oh. Okay. Tony, go first.
I thought it before going in, I thought it after the show, I still think it to this day, it was time for Adam Page to drop the title. I thought this was the perfect opportunity. This match was actually, other than the outcome, I did like this match, though. I had two picks in my eyes by the time this match came on, trying to stay up for it.
Boy.
Man, because, I mean, man, this is like 11:30 at night. I had to be at work the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
The match itself was entertaining. They had some really good spots in there. You know, several different moments in the match where we thought either guy would win. I just don't think that at this point of this run they went the right direction. Though I mean, Adam Cole moves the needle more than Adam Page at this point. So like when he hit that next Buckshot Larry, which I do like that move. And I really did see Adam Cole kicking out of it, and he didn't know, but it was just like, man, this reign continues.
Yeah. I'm getting tired of it.
I think that Adam Page is not – he's – I don't know how to put it. He's not being served well as champion.
Rob, though, when I criticize his title run, I'm not really throwing that on him. It's the way they're using him in this title run.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, he's supposed to be a badass babyface champion in the vein of Hogan and WWE's Daniel Bryan. And, you know, he's supposed to be this dominant role model babyface champion. And they're not using him like that enough. And he would be much more over as the champion if they did that. And I'm not sure why they're not. I guess I don't really know. But the match itself was the icing on the cake for the night. It was sound technically. Both guys were over. and they knew each other well, and I had no problem with Hangman holding on to the belt. If they could put more oomph behind him as champion and turn him into this mythic figure instead of just this average every man's babyface champion, then it would be much better. But I don't think this loss hurt Adam Cole at all. I think he's I think he's still very much over. It's just a question of when his time is going to come. And I granted, if they had put the title on him then, I would buy it and it would still be okay. But there's plenty of time for it, and it doesn't need to rush it. I think Adam Cole will stay over, even with the stuff that he's doing with the Bucks and Red Dragon. And once all that's resolved, then maybe putting the title on him then. But we still got guys in the line like MJF, CM Punk, and Danielson. And there's a whole bunch of people you could realistically put the world title on, and it would mean something and be a credible champion. And Adam Cole is one of those people. I want to give Hangman more of a chance here, is all I'm saying.
All right, let me say mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I at first liked Hangman Adam Page. Behind him, everything. But I'm looking at the platform you are on. He is not in the WWE. He is in AEW. To where if he wants to come out and do something, they're going to say, okay, you want to do this, how do we work around it? That's how Tony Khan is, especially with people like Adam Page. I don't see Hangman taking the initiative to do anything right now. I think he has that title. He's laying back. They're doing these Young Bucks stupid-type stories that don't make sense. I wouldn't watch it on Lifetime. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing. And the biggest disappointment I have in AEW, because he is a lot better than that, but he's not trying to be better than that. And again, I'm going to say this straight out. He does not have those hurdles that he would have in the WWE. He has a boss that will listen and do something. He is not taking advantage of it. And this is the type of company where it's structured that if you have something, you go to him, you tell him, you work it out, and then you do it to see if it works or not. You know, take that initiative. If you're a champion and you're a proud champion, take the initiative to make that mean something instead of laying back and the Bucks say, oh, well, you should do this. Okay, dude, I'll do that. No. And that's exactly what's happening here. Oh, go ahead. Ask the question.
What you're saying is that the laziness and silliness of the Bucks is rubbing off on Hangman, and that's why he's not clicking as champion.
100%. And I also think the laziness from Orange Cassidy is getting into him, too. This is the lazy mobile here.
If I could just add one thing, even though I didn't see the match. So, I mean, the way Adam Cole has been built up, I mean, since he's been in AEW, he hasn't had a notable win, and he just lost to Orange Cassidy clean. So how can you come off a loss to somebody like Orange Cassidy and then go into a Royal title match? I just thought the build-up for that was just terrible.
Well, Adam, to me, it's just like this. Adam Cole, all the buddies of the Young Bucks seem like they're getting title matches for no reason. All the buddies of the Young Bucks seem like they're getting their way. And they are realizing right now that their time is limited in doing this type of crap. To see them punking them may have it. Why do you think Regal's there? Why do you think that they formed Moxley and Danielson? They need other leaders in that tag team division to call stuff. When it comes to Regal, and when it comes to Moxley and Danielson, people will listen. When it comes to CM Punk, they're gonna listen. And when the Young Bucks talk, they're gonna look at Punk and them, and they're gonna look at the Young Bucks, They're going to look back at Punk and them. They're going to look at the Young Bucks, and they're going to tell the Young Bucks, you know what? These guys have done a whole bunch of stuff. You really ain't did nothing. I'm listening to these dudes. And the Young Bucks is going to be slowly pushed out. Because the Young Bucks are ridiculous. I don't understand them whatsoever. They're ruining wrestling. They got a half and half going right now. But I think, honestly, they get rid of the Bucks, it'll go all the way to where it needs to be. And Omega, act stupid, he can go too. Through him and his gyrating, twisted, playing twister in the air type. But no. No, he got to go. You know, so, I mean, Omega's going to, and this is what I see about Omega. Omega's an adapter. He sees it's going to go this way. Oh, okay, I need to adapt to this because I'm not going anywhere. And the Young Bucks is going to be left hanging.
Well, I don't necessarily think that the Bucks couldn't learn from guys like Punk and Danielson. And if they did, they would be better served in their style. The question is,
let me stop you right. Let me stop you right there.
That.
Let me stop you right there. I never said that they couldn't. They refuse to. That's my point. They don't want to. They refuse to. So they got all the talent in the world to learn it, yeah. But they're refusing to do it. They're not going to do it. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I missaid that or not, but yeah, they don't want to do it. The Young Bucks don't want.
Well, if they don't want to do it, they'll get outshined, because that dog collar match spoke volumes as to the fact that CM Punk knows exactly what the hell he's doing. So if the Young Bucks are unwilling to listen to a guy like CM Punk and are unwilling to work with him or to adapt their style to him, then they're damn fools.
Yeah, they are fools. I mean, I won't take that away from it all. They're the big F, double O, L to the S, fools. I'm just saying. But on the commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of being fools, if you are a fool and listen to your ex-wife say you got to get your stuff out your house and you got to figure out a place to put it, look no further. Come to Secure Care Self Storage. We got different type of storage units available for you to keep for 1 to even up to a year. So Secure Care Self Storage, so is it securecareselfstorage.com. Look at our daily rates. We got 17 different locations across the Indianapolis area. And we do have them in other states as well. We have them in Texas, California, Ohio. We got one in Kentucky. So, hey, guys, you need some place to put your stuff. Don't hear all that complaining. Don't get the food thrown at you. Don't be sleeping on the couch at night. Go ahead, put it in a spot. Check out Secure Care Self Storage. SecureCareSelfStorage.com. All right. We're on to the next thing, because I love that one. I love that pay-per-view. But speaking of the pay-per-views and stuff, we're talking about people coming and watching shows and having a good time. And the key thing that came up was, why is WWE low on attendance? Well, I might have that answer for you. Me and the guys, we were thinking, hey, it would be cool if we could go out to these and check out the scenery and see the live shows, report for the live shows, blah, 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 right? So here I am thinking like, okay, let's check out the ticket packages they have. And, of course, Hell in a Cell is in Chicago. And they also have SummerSlam in Nashville, Tennessee. Either place is 3 hours from Indianapolis. So which one we want to do? So just to get an idea of what they would charge, I hollered about the Hell in a Cell that's happening in Chicago. Now, mind you, 3 out of 4 people in this podcast are from Chicago, okay? Now.
And the fourth person lived in Chicago for 10 years.
Yeah, definitely. So all of us know what it costs to go to Chicago, all right?
Yes.
Now, the actual package, it does not include air. It does not include a way to get there. It does not include a hotel. It does not include food. You do get a couple of drinks out of the deal, which is kind of cool. But other than that, all you're doing is meet and greet, and there's a chair that they put out there that you sit in for the match, and you can take it home with you. A freaking chair. Okay. So I'm like, huh, this is interesting. How much is this package, sir? So you can meet people, do blah, 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 blah. It's a VIP thing. You know what that man told me? $1,500. $1,500. Smackaroos.
Now, and mind you, they had some lower ones. One was like $975, and one was like $1,075 or something like that. But still, that's still ridiculous, though.
I could buy a used car for that amount.
Absolutely, please. Please.
Why don't they just offer to punch people in the junk for a free ticket?
They're dead.
Yeah, I would rather
Wait. Think about this. $1,500. That is a one bedroom apartment on the north side of Chicago for a month.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the product is not even Attitude Era good.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean it's
if you get 12 people to pay that price. You paid rent for one Chicago one bedroom apartment on the north side of Chicago.
Yeah,
they don't tell you where you're sitting at exactly. They just give you a general.
Oh yes, they do.
Oh, they told you that.
Yes, they do. He told me.
Oh, okay.
He told me specifically.
Yeah, when I looked it up. Okay, yeah. When I looked it up, they didn't for Hell in a Cell. They weren't doing that for the packages in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, he actually told me exactly where it was.
Okay.
It was nowhere near ringside,
was it?
No, it was Section 4.
Section 4?
That's all I know, Section 4. And I'm like, thinking like, you're telling me these numbers, but I don't know what the hell that is.
Right.
So it's kind of like what Mark was saying. Like, they just kind of give you the general area, but though, it's not like, okay, you're going to be.
Right.
Like, it's not like you got to assign seats.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
No. You do. I just remember Section 4, but he would say those 3 aisle seats. There was Section 4, G11, 12, and 13, or something like that.
Okay.
He gave me the whole breakdown of it. Yeah, he did give me the whole breakdown because he wanted to make sure all of us were going to sit in the same place. And I'm like, I'm thinking he's going to say 500. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 700. Okay, I can date that. $1,500? What?
$1,500 a head. No.
Yeah,
that's a person. Yeah, that's insane. For all four of us to go together
and to have the experience together, that would have been 6 smackaroos.
Oh my God! No, that's. I mean,
$6,000 before.
If they threw in full backstage access, box seats, like like in the VIP section to where we get like free food and snacks during the event, and hotel accommodations, then yeah, a $1,500 package would be justified. But for
I'm gonna need Manny Rose sitting in my lap for this show, the entire show.
the key to lions, baby. There you go.
I need Naomi hitting on my face for that.
That's what I'm saying. We all got to get it on.
Manny doesn't have a little skirt on.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to go there, but okay.
Hold on. Let me ask a question. Does anybody remember the show called House? House MD?
Oh, yeah.
Where the doctor was hooked on Xanax, but he was a genius?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, do you remember at the end of the series? Do you remember at the end of the series, House got to that bus? He was dreaming he was in a bus on that bus accident again, and Cuddy was in there with the little schoolgirl outfit and stripping. He said, "It's my dream. I can have it the way I want." Snapped his fingers and she in that little schoolgirl outfit dancing on the pole on a broken bus. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's what I want. That's exactly what I want if I'm getting paid $1,500.
Yeah, well, for $1,500, you would expect more than what they're offering.
You could go back there and meet people, but it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not paying $1,500 for that.
No.
Yeah, there's nobody I want to see $1,500.
No. Not even Janet Jackson. No.
Unless I'm getting to meet like all sorts of legends, unless Hogan, Flair,
I don't care how many legends
Steamboat.
No, I don't care. They can bring some of them from the dead. They can bring them up, make them alive, everything, and they can wrestle right in front of me. I don't care. I'm not paying $1,500.
$1,500. I will pay to see Randy Savage and Road Warrior Hawk come back from the dead and wrestle. I pay $1,500 for that.
I
still need Randy Rose on my lap.
I wouldn't.
I still need Randy Rose on my lap the entire time.
Well, okay. You guys are thinking on that plane. I don't like to mix my wrestling and strippers. Okay, that's why I'm not a fan.
$1,500. We're going to mix it. Sorry. $1,500.
Yeah.
We're going to mix it.
Yeah, $1,500, we're going to mix all that. Dropping them bowls. Throw them bowls.
Well, I don't blame you. I'm just saying from the perspective of the clean world here, I'm just saying there's we could get a whole lot more for our dollar for $1,500 than what they're offering, and that is a good explanation for why people aren't doing it.
Well, hold on. Let me say this, and we go to our next question. On our next subject real quick. How the hell can we be in a clean world when they doing us dirty by charging us $1,500? That's what I want to know.
Good point. I'm just saying.
All right. On the next one, which is the final one, I wanted to take some time to discuss this one. And we only got 7 minutes left in the podcast. You know what? Why don't we do this? We're going to save this subject till next week. Because I want to take some time on this subject.
Yeah, 7 minutes is not enough for like all four of us.
Yeah. I'm going to say that for next week. But I'm trying to figure out why on God's green earth, we're going to stay on this $1,500 subject. I don't understand, and this is what I think WWE is doing. They're trying to become the Beverly Hills of entertainment.
I say, here's the thing, though.
All the rich kids can
But here's what the WWE is going to do with these prices, though. They're going to increase the viewership and ticket sales for AEW. It's like, why am I spending all this money for this? I wait for AEW to come to town.
That's a good point.
I don't
point.
Know, because my problem is this. The average kid nowadays is up to about 25 years old. Don't know anything except WWE.
Yeah.
And when you talk about being loyal, they are loyal to that name. They're not loyal to professional wrestling. We've grown up to be loyal for professional wrestling. Kids nowadays with AEW and all this other stuff coming up is now to again be in a circle of learning professional wrestling. We got a gap
here. Yeah, when we grew up, we had WWF, WCW, World Class, AWA.
Yeah.
We got a gap.
We got a gap, you know, that doesn't understand that. So it's going to take a while
for us to
overcome that hurdle. You know, it's going to take a while for us to come over the hurdle, but we will come over it.
Yeah, right now WWE is, like, coasting on brand recognition. That's why they think that they can get away with $1,500 deals like this when they're not really deals. But that time is slipping away. AEW is gaining momentum, especially if they keep putting on pay-per-views like that. And eventually the younger demographic is going to switch, and the brand recognition that they're coasting on now is going to become a detriment. But, yeah,
I could see my son, if he was younger and he wanted to go to a wrestling show, I could just hear him now. Wait a minute. How much you say it was? $1,500. I don't even like paying $5 for gas. What did you talk about?
Wow.
I mean, I make it sound like a joke, but I'm serious. The mindset of these young kids is going to look at their price and be like, you want what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. I got to go. AEW's cool. Y'all have priced yourselves out.
Yeah.
Especially when you can go to a live indie event for like $10, $20 a pop, get a ringside seat, and you can see matches that are better than you can see on Raw. So not only do you have AEW cutting into that market, but if you know your indie promotion and get to be a fan of that, you can get $1,500 worth of entertainment for 10 times less. 100 times less.
Right, knowing that, I can sit at my house and watch the pay-per-view for free.
Exactly.
That's
the sad part about it, too, though, because you're talking about, like, pay-per-view price and, like, the gold is, like, $1,500 when it's basically free on Peacock. Mm.
And then you're talking about WWE. Yeah. Most of the pay-per-views aren't worth going to pay to see anyway.
Right.
Right now,
no quality.
No.
All right.
Let's say this. We're talking about doing a trip to SummerSlam, but we're going to do something different. And just to let you wrestlers know, next Saturday we got a surprise for you. Pay attention to the Motown Wrestler Group's Facebook page and also the Future Teller, the FTW Future Focus page. And also the FCW Network YouTube channel. Yeah. A little surprise is going to come out next week.
I can't wait.
We're doing a lot of upgrade. Cool. So this is going to be like a little half hour thing we're going to do. And we want to introduce you to something. We hope you take the ride with us. Ladies and gentlemen, 60 seconds is left of the broadcast. Let me thank Marcus Bagley. I mean, Beckley, thank you for coming in. Tony Motown Allen, thank you for coming on. Robert Black, always, thank you. Everybody out there listening, thank you. Tell a friend. Tell other friends. Tell people on top of people that's on the other side of people that's kicking people in the face. Let them come through. Tell them about the broadcast. Let's spread this out. Because we're going to do a lot of things that it's going to be shocking that I'm going to be announcing on the little surprise next week that we're going to be doing to maybe entice you guys. So, again, we all say thank you for tuning in. We hope you tune in next week. This is the Mastermind, Bob Rogers, signing off for everybody on the FTW Network and saying, hey, remember, it's not goodbye. We'll just definitely see you in the future. You know it's all about life.